I am your father.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Oh, welcome everybody. May the fourth be with you. Always. Happy Star Wars Day to all the Star Wars geeks out there. I gotta be honest, I'm more of a Star Trek geek. When it comes to Star Wars, I'm like original trilogy only, thank you. As far as I'm concerned, Star Wars began in 1977 and it concluded in 1983. And anything after that, all mistakes. All mistakes. Two words, folks. I guess three words. Jar Jar Binks. That's it. That's all I need to say. Enough said. But let me get back to the story that the rant I was just doing at the end of the last hour. And it's really gotten on my nerves here. And I think legalization is really beginning to highlight some of the perception issues from the medical marijuana side toward the recreational marijuana side. I've long said that I always had a problem with the tagline, "We're patients, not criminals." Because that always said to me, "Hey Russ, you're a criminal." We're patients, not criminals. We're not like those dirty, low-down dopers who are merely using marijuana to get high. We're patients. We have to. Right? And again, no, I'm not dissing anyone who needs marijuana for medical purposes. And it always kind of galls me when I see the trolls on the internet saying, "Oh, Radical Russ hates patients. He hates medical marijuana." Are you kidding me? Get real. I was putting in time and money and effort and activism, helping the sickest, most disabled patients there are. My bona fides in protecting medical marijuana are pretty well established. What I've got little patience for, though, is the tactics of demonization and denigration that are better served for our opponents, the DEA and the cops, than to be used by our own people against us. It really bothers me when I hear medical proponents denigrating recreational use of marijuana as if it's, well, it's just some choice, it's some sin, it's some habit, it's some addiction. Instead of what the whole battle is really about, liberty, cognitive liberty, bodily sovereignty. That same right that says the government shouldn't get in between a doctor and a patient is the same exact right that says the government shouldn't get between a citizen and his mind. How he chooses to alter his perceptions so long as he harms no one else. And some of this rhetoric that gets adopted by the patient side to try to fig leaf their own use ends up just demonizing our use and somewhat validating the laws against us and the attitudes of our oppressors. That's where I get frustrated. Let me give you some concrete examples. This weekend was the Global Cannabis March. And by the way, congrats to anyone who took part in their Global Cannabis March this year. I did manage to get on Fox 12 News for our Cannabis March talking about the festivities. Although I do have to issue the public disclaimer that while Fox News listed me as an organizer of the march, I was not in any way an organizer of the march. That credit goes to our own Herb Thrasher and Oregon Normal's executive director, Michael Baccarat. They organized the event, but, I was there in a suit jacket. So, they make assumptions. And so I got like 6 seconds on the Fox News talking about the march, but also got a chance to speak at the march and got to hear other people speak at the march. And I was really upset at some of the rhetoric I heard. One of the medical advocates is a fellow by the name of Don Skacki. I love Don Skacki. He's a great guy. He's an honest to goodness, altruistic marijuana reformer. He really wants the best for both medical and recreational. But some of the things he said to me, to everyone, in my opinion, reflect some of this anti-recreational bias within the medical community. For instance, one of the lines he said, and I have to paraphrase all this because I haven't got my recordings all chopped up. I'll play these for you throughout the rest of the week. But one of the things he said had to do with pesticides and this worry that, the recreational weed isn't tested for pesticides and how a patient couldn't put up with that. And the line he said was something to the effect of, well, pesticides might be okay for the healthy person who's just looking to get high, but not for a patient with a compromised immune system. And I'm thinking, excuse me? I don't want pesticides on my weed. What is this thought process that, contaminated weed? Oh yeah, give that to the recreational users. That kind of stuff offends me, right? I heard another anecdote, which was, if all the patients have to shop in the same shops as the recreational consumers, what happens on a payday when a patient finally gets some money to go buy medicine and they end up in line behind Danny and his friends who buy up all the strain he needs for their party Friday night? What are they going to do then? I'm like, wait a minute. Danny and all his friends going to buy up all the supply of a particular strain when they're limited to buying 1 ounce at a time, yet the medical people can buy 3 ounces at a time? How does this work exactly? And this other attitudes that I just hear time and time again, that if you scratch the surface of it, what it always comes down to is, you recreational people need to hold your horses. You recreational people need to wait and not move any further on legalization in any way until we have our medical perfectly protected and never change medical in any way. And if anything that's going to help you guys changes medical in any way, it has to be opposed. So you just need to wait just a little longer. And it's this underlying attitude like marijuana smokers should just expect to be arrested or stop using marijuana. And I don't see how that attitude differs much from what I hear from prohibitionists. That's why I get a little incensed about this medical marijuana stuff and why I keep calling bullshit when bullshit needs to be called.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
I like funky music, baby.
This is Big Daddy, and I want you to check out my show, The Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio, because we love us some funky music.
Funky Roller Ring.
I like it like
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
Half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Thank you, Princess. Radical Russ here, celebrating May the 4th. And, you know, I went off on the episode 1, 2, and 3 as sucking, which I still believe they suck. Another thing that makes them suck for me is they destroyed the whole mysticism of the Force, right? Like, in the first movies, in the 4, 5, and 6 movies, the Force is this mystical kind of, you know, quasi-religious thing, right? And then in 1, 2, and 3, oh no, it's just how many midichlorians you have in your system determines it. Oh, come on, man. All right, welcome back. It's Toker Talk Radio, and we're talking about stuff other than Star Wars today, even though it is Star Wars Day.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
Yoda's a tough system engineer here. Do or do not, there is no try. But anyway, we were talking about medical marijuana. You want to call it elitism? I guess we could call it that. And John Thomas in the chat room makes a really good point. It's time for any medical marijuana consumer to stand up for the whole movement that gave them their freedom. Nothing less is ethical. And it brings up some questions, right? Because like, one of the problems that the medical marijuana folks complain about with having to, you know, reduce their levels is patients need more. Patients have to have more medicine. They need 24 ounces at a time. And look, I'll support that argument. I'll agree with that argument. In fact, I was a part of the team that helped increase Oregon's medical marijuana limits from 3 ounces to 24 ounces. So it's obvious I support that idea, but the reason I supported it is because I think anybody should have 24 ounces of marijuana. I don't see why there's a limit whatsoever on how much marijuana we can have, but if we have to have a limit, hey, pound and a half sounds good to me. And it brings up the question of what are medical marijuana proponents implying in the idea that they can have more marijuana, but we can't? What's the implication there? So why is it that we, recreational consumers, can't have a pound and a half of weed? Well, the argument would be we couldn't legalize a pound and a half. We had to legalize just an ounce. Because if you legalize more than that, if you legalize a whole bunch, then, you know, law enforcement will think that that marijuana is being diverted to the black market. Oh, okay. So healthy people have to have an ounce. Because if they had more than that, they'd become criminals. But sick people have to have more than an ounce because their medical needs require it. Uh-huh. Are we not supposed to presume that, hey, maybe some of those sick people also might become criminals and distribute some of that medicine? Because there's evidence to show it's been happening quite a bit. Pounds and pounds of marijuana seized from trunks of cars traveling eastward from the West Coast, loaded up with medical marijuana. shipments being intercepted by FedEx, UPS, and the United Postal Service with pounds and pounds of marijuana from the West headed east. So it's certainly been shown that the medical marijuana consumers, with their greater limits, have been known to abuse those limits for personal profit. In fact, I could make a compelling argument that patients would be more likely to sell their marijuana on the black market because patients tend to be the ill and infirmed or on Social Security disability and can't work and need the extra money more. So to me, at this point, we should all be fighting for the same limits for everyone. Let's get everyone's limit back up to 24 ounces. And stop making artificial distinction on what our rights are, what our liberties are, based on our physical characteristics. I thought that was anti-American. To come up with laws that are prejudiced against people based on their physical characteristics. Now, I'm all for the accommodation of people with disabilities. I'm not going to argue that we should get rid of handicap parking spots or the handicap rails for the bathrooms or the ramps in sidewalks and such. I'm not a monster, for God's sake. But I don't advocate that we set up separate stores for the handicapped to shop in. I don't advocate that people who aren't handicapped deserve to be taxed at 30-35% because they're healthy. They should have to pay more in taxes. They're healthy. I understand wanting to give tax breaks to people who are sick, sure. But overtaxing the people that are healthy in comparison to that, that doesn't seem right to me. So that's where I get to on these issues of medical use at this point. And it's frustrating because every argument that I hear from medical advocates who oppose legalization, oh, it's not true legalization. Oh, it's legalizing too little marijuana. That's not enough marijuana for anyone. Oh, it'll set up a situation where just a few people become rich off of it. Every argument I hear given by medical people to fight against a legalization proposal is an argument that would have worked against medical marijuana in the first place. Funny how these advocates could accept all sorts of compromises to liberty when it came to getting theirs. When it came to passing medical marijuana, there were few people saying, no, we should oppose this because it's not true legalization. You know who one of those few people were? Jack Herer. Jack Herer was against Prop 215 when it came out. For the same reasons the fundamentalist legalizers are against the legalization proposals being floated in California or Ohio at this point, and who opposed them in Washington and who opposed them in California before, because it's not true legalization. Funny, isn't it? And funny how every successive medical marijuana state that passed after California ratcheted back the freedom. Oh, first we have to, oh no, we have to, you can't just say any condition a doctor will allow. Are you crazy? Anyone could get pot. Let's restrict it to just this list of 8 conditions. Oh, you can't just have 60-day supplies and 24 plants and 24 ounces. My God, we got to limit that to 3 ounces or 2 ounces or 1 ounce. We got to limit that to 6 plants or 4 plants or 3 plants or 2 plants like they got in Vermont. And then the next wave of medical marijuana states, starting with Arizona in 2010, hey, how about no plants? You get to grow no plants at all if you live within a dispensary, within 25 miles. Or some that didn't even make any sort of allowance at all for home growing. You get 0 plants, period. We don't care where you live. And the latest 2 medical marijuana states, and I hesitate to call them medical marijuana states, I prefer medical extract states. We're talking about Minnesota and New York passing their laws that don't even allow you to touch a marijuana plant at all. No marijuana plant material, just extracts. So sometimes I get a little fed up with the whining here when even worst case scenario, Washington and Oregon, Oregon is still left as the best medical marijuana state, and Washington only falls to about 4th place out of 23 states. And it's this boy who cries wolf attitude that, oh my God, every patient in the program is suddenly going to suffer and everybody's, all hell's going to break loose with the medical programs and nobody's going to be able to get their medicine. I think we've reached a point with the public where it's kind of the boy who cried wolf.
You know, there are times where I've fallen off the wagon.
Your feeble skills are no match for the power of the dark side.
Well, folks, it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to let loose, let down what is left of my hair, and enjoy this wonderful vape pen from our friends at True North Extracts here in Portland. Thanks, guys. See you in a minute with Bacon Dan.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Yeah, come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop, shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop, shop at weedshop.com. Whether it's a vape pen, a pipe, or a bong, you can find it right now on weedshop.com. We got dab rings, nails, and ship it fast, whipping any of a competitor's glass. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop, shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop, shop at weedshop.com.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to get our 420 break on. We got Mr. Portland himself on the line. Bacon Dan is with us. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, man, I'm doing great, and my weekend just started, so I'm off for the next 2 days, so I am extra happy.
Extra happy. I got to tell you, this weekend, the weather was gorgeous. I got my first Portland sunburn of the year.
Oh, man. Well, I'm really happy because the next 2 days are supposed to be rainy and like in the mid-50s. So it's like my weather's coming back. So we're both happy, man.
That's right. Well, I'm a little bummed sports-wise that the Blazers are out of in the first round of the playoffs again, but I saw a bunch of Winterhawks fans at the Global March this weekend, so looks like we got another set of playoffs to go through.
Unfortunately, we did, but they just got eliminated.
Oh! See, now I didn't have enough time to watch, man. So we're out. Was it the first round as well?
Yeah, they were doing great, but it just, they fell apart. But I mean, hell, there's a lot of good prospects on that team. Winterhawks, you know, especially for being a minor pro team in the States, man, they've got a hell of a team, a hell of a history, and a hell of a following.
Yeah, I've been to a Winterhawks game. It was a lot of fun to watch. Is it a game or is it a match when you're playing hockey?
It's a game.
It's a game? Okay. You never tell. The soccer people get upset when you call it a game because it's a match, right?
That is very true. And the Timbers lost their match against Vancouver over the weekend.
We got no good sports news today?
Not really, sadly enough.
What a shame. All right. Let's talk about other things happening in Portland. Of course, we had our Global Cannabis March this weekend, kind of the kickoff of the summer festival season, all sorts of summer festivals happening. And what do you got on tap for this month?
Well, it's going to be a big month for Who's the Roth. We will be not at Dante's. We will be across the street at the Kit Kat Club Strip Club doing a special edition of our May shows. It's going to be awesome. We'll actually have the guy from Save Portland from Hell, who is a local scene comedian who kind of rips on all the ultra-conservative religious folk.
Gotcha.
He will be on our show this week. And, yeah, it's a lot of good stuff going on, you know, getting closer to July 1st, and hopefully, you know, closer to a date when we're going to have the Cannabis Cup here. So I'm really excited for that, I got to tell
you. Yeah, folks, we're all waiting here in Portland for the news of when the High Times Cannabis Cup will be here. Last I heard, they're having some trouble getting a venue, but the most recent reported date was July 18th and 19th. We'll keep you posted when we know more. And, you know, I heard some rumors, maybe you can corroborate this. I heard rumors that on June 30th, the night of June 30th, people were going to gather beneath the Portland, Oregon sign there near Burnside to celebrate once it hits midnight at July 1st. Have you heard of this?
I have not. I mean, it wouldn't be anything, you know, different from every other day at, you know, the White Stag sign. But if it is true, there will be an event. Yours truly will be there on behalf of 420 Radio.
All right. Well, you ask around, see if anyone else is heard this rumor I heard about people gathering to be civilly disobedient and smoke in public on July 1st at midnight beneath the Portland, Oregon sign. We'll see if that rumor gets any legs.
Sounds good to me, buddy.
All right, let's get to our 420 tune because I don't recognize at all what the hell you've got listed here. What's going on?
All right, well, given that it is May the 4th and I am one of the biggest Star Wars nerds that I know.
Oh, wait a minute then.
It's
a very bad feeling about
it. So, it's, yeah, we got, better known as the Cantina Band, their real name is Figurin Dan and the Model Nose, playing their famous song from Chalum's Cantina in downtown Mos Eisley. I actually have the full album cut of the song.
Okay, so the song is called Mad About Me, is that right?
Correct. Yes,
with
it is.
Figurin Dan and the Modal Nodes. Okay.
Absolutely.
And before we go, remember,
it's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Here we go. Thanks, Dan. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good, buddy.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome! Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back. That's music from Clarence Williams, The Street Walkin' Blues. That's from our new Viper Hour library. You can catch the best of early 20th century blues, jazz, folk, and swing music from the progenitors of our cannabis culture. Cab Calloway, Louis Armstrong, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, and so on. It's the new Viper Hour, 8 p.m. Pacific Time every Monday night and 2 a.m. on the weekends. Finish your closing time there with some great, great early swing and jazz music. Got a pretty reefer mad story here for you. And it's a funny one. it's a good little story. I'm trying to find the exact date on when this one story was posted. But it does not appear. Let's see. I'm not finding it, but looks like it's been on there for a long time. And let's see what I can find here. Yeah, this was posted like months and last year even. Okay, so all right, let me get you this story because you've heard of DARE, right? Drug Abuse Resistance Education. That's when the cops show up in your kid's school. Tell your kid all about the dangers of marijuana. So DARE has a website. And on their website, they're promoting their 28th International DARE Conference and the 2015 International Anti-Bullying Conference and International School and Community Safety. Some sidebar stories on police departments. Their program, the DARE 5th anniversary of their program. Here's La Crosse Schools with 25 years of the DARE program. So DARE still takes itself quite seriously as a prevention organization trying to educate the youth about the dangers of the marijuana. So it is quite funny to us that they posted this story that says, Edible marijuana candies kill 9 in Colorado, 12 at Coachella. Denver, Colorado, and Coachella Valley, California. Marijuana candies, sold on the street as Uncle Tweety's Chewy Flipper and Gummy Satans, are taking the country by storm. Each candy is an emulsification of sweetened Jell-O, vodka, and minced marijuana. Huffington Post reports that within a week, 9 college students have died from these marijuana candies. New reports from Coachella confirm one young man has died after eating a handful of these dangerous home-brewed gummies. Marijuana advocates love to argue that pot is not dangerous, but breaking down the report from Huffington Post right now reveals the tragic truth. Marijuana is dangerous, especially in candy form. And it continues. Immediately, we see marijuana in the bloodstream is causing life and death situations to take place. If pot was still illegal, perhaps this would not have developed. It's sad that in a country as developed as America, such third world drugs such as marijuana are allowed to exist. Children are becoming addicted to marijuana. I knew this day would come when a liberal president allowed a state to legally sell marijuana Flintstone vitamins to children. What are the consequences? Let us turn to the science. Marijuana. It is one of the most dangerous drugs on earth. We're only seeing the tip of the iceberg here, my friends. For every one joint of marijuana, 4 teenagers become burdened with pregnancy. And for every bag of marijuana candy sold, it seems 16 violent crimes in the 16 to 45-year-old cohort break down. Young men and men who eat these candies are being found to have lower testosterone levels and fits of primal aggression. They are suffering heart issues and COPD. I do not even want to scare you parents today on what is being found to happen in young women who smoke and eat marijuana. That stat about teen pregnancy is enough for you for one day. Okay, so if that to you from the DARE website, that repost on the DARE website seems a little outlandish, it's because it is. This was written back in 2014 on a website called Topeka News. Topeka News, if you don't know it, is like The Onion. It's one of those websites that purposefully makes fake stories just close enough to reality to get people to bite on them. So basically, these guys trolled this story, and DARE picked it up. DARE picked it up on March 30th of this year and had it on their website as marijuana, edible marijuana kills 9 in Colorado and 12 at Coachella. Now, the guy who wrote this fake news story has also written such fake news stories as, is it time for America to invade the Middle East and rename it New America? And German soccer team uses Nazi super soldier serum to beat Brazil 7-1, risks start of World War III. And of course, the classic, are women even people, really? Now, DARE's not the only website that has been fooled by some of these satirical news sites. It seems, you know, every month or so, there's somebody who gets fooled by an Onion story or one of these satire pieces. But this is DARE. Right? These are the people we're entrusting to go into our schools and teach kids about the dangers of drugs. And it's not like this was a brand new story that popped up on March 30th. This story popped up last April. This story already had how many, it's got Facebook conversations, 258 comments on it. It's already had 258 comments on it. Now, half of them are marijuana supporters who also don't realize that it's satire, going in full on Emperor Wears No Clothes mode to explain just how wrong it actually is. But right here, I'm looking at the thing. Third comment in the list, LOL, satire. Here's another one, just one scroll down. Holy crap, is this article supposed to be satirical? And so forth. So it just continues on. But for DARE to be taken in by a fake story. Now, Christopher Ingraham at the Washington Post called them on it. said, hey, what's with this posting the satirical website story? And Dare pulled it immediately. They pulled it off their website. But it was up there. And they've got a link to the archive.org. You know, there's a website called archive.org that preserves every a picture of every website that's ever been that's ever been put out there, right? So this capture on the Dare one, yeah, it goes all the way back to the original article was April of 2014, and then of course Dare puts that up on their website. And I wouldn't be so troubled by it if this were the Drug Free America Foundation website or the Project Sam website, because at least those websites are paying for themselves. But Dare is paid for by you and me. Dare is still receiving donations from the Justice Department of the United States of America, the California National Guard, the Florida National Guard, U.S. Department of Defense, U.S. Department of Justice, U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, U.S. Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Office of Juvenile Justice, U.S. Department of State. That's our taxpayer money going to fund people who are supposed to know the truth about marijuana to deliver it to our kids and are taken in by a one-year-old satirical news posting. So you can imagine we don't have much faith in what they have to say. But I know who does have some faith in what they have to say. That is John Fleming, the Republican from Louisiana. John Fleming, during a session in the House, said, quote, smoking pot increases the psychotic episodes by a factor of 2 to 4 times normal. The conversion to schizophrenia, a permanent mental disorder, is enhanced by pot by a factor of 2. You know, we just talked to Dr. Mitch about this, Dr. Fleming. And he is a medical doctor, isn't he? John Fleming. I'd imagine he must be a medical doctor with such you know, such firm knowledge of psychosis and schizophrenia, right? Mr. Fleming, take a look at your own state of Louisiana. I challenge you to go get the records from your state department of health or epidemiology or whatever it is that would show the admissions to Louisiana mental hospitals for psychosis or schizophrenia. And I would urge you to compare those over the past 40 years to the rise and fall of cannabis use in the state of Louisiana. And what you're going to find, Representative Fleming, is that cannabis use has gone up, cannabis use has gone down, and the psychosis and schizophrenia has stayed steady. No correlation whatsoever. But this guy, who, by the way, is one of the people in charge of writing our national laws, also says that pot is not accepted for any specific medical disease or disorder, and that it is insane to give it to veterans with PTSD. Not accepted for any specific medical disease. Apparently unaware that the FDA has been granting companies approvals to study cannabis as a drug treatment. Apparently unaware of the U.S. Patent Trademark Office's patent number 6630507, patenting cannabinoids for the use as neuroprotectants and antioxidants. It's just frustrating. And there's just, in some cases, education's never going to happen. John Fleming is never, ever going to change. Some people are just going to have to pass on and get replaced by people who've come up in an era where we've learned the science, where we've learned the medical aspects of cannabis, or I should say relearned the medical aspects of cannabis. And, you know, I don't wish ill on anyone, but, you know, the sooner we get more representatives and senators who recognize that support the troops means more than just sending them into battle without all the proper body armor and equipment that they need and ignoring their medical needs when they come back, But that supporting the troops might actually mean, you know, giving them access to something that can help them with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury and neuropathic pain. Maybe when we get more of these legislators seated in Washington, D.C., support the troops will actually mean something to someone.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger-flipping, public school-educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
All right, folks, stick around here. We got some more stuff coming up here on 420 Radio and the Russ Belleville Show. Taking a look back at California and all the details necessary to pass marijuana legalization there. It's the tipping point for the entire country. And I'm happy to see some folks are going about it in a very professional manner. We'll tell you all about that when we come back.
Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Well, I once had a bow, a good green reefer, a big fat don't be much, much sweeter. Lie, don't hide it.
Lie, don't hide it.
Just lie, don't hide it.
Lie, don't hide it.
Well, lie, don't hide it. Fire it up right now.
Welcome back, everyone. That's Sean Reefer and the Resin Valley Boys with Light It, Don't Hide It. Congratulations also go out to Floyd Mayweather, who beat Manny Pacquiao in the much-hyped fight of the century that should have happened 5 years ago. So Floyd Mayweather is still undefeated. Manny Pacquiao is still a lousy Philippine senator. So there you go. Let's get back to the marijuana stories here. Speed limit in our chat room is questioning about rumors going around in Oregon that there's an attempt to dismantle our fledgling hemp program. We'll get you more details on that when we've got them. I've got Doug Fine on the show Wednesday in our Hemp Day Hump Day. We'll ask him about that. I'll also ask some of my sources as to what's going on. But to my speculation, it would be outdoor growers lobbying against this. I'd imagine outdoor growers are going to say, well, it's going to cause cross-pollination. Somebody grows hemp. The next thing you know, hemp's going to cross-pollinate the outdoor fields and all hell will break loose. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I wanted to end the day talking a little bit about California because, you know, California coming up in 2016 is make or break time, folks. Really, I think how California goes on legalization could be whether the pendulum, it's the point of no return, right? It's the event horizon on legalization. If we get California legalized, it's over. I mean, it'll take a while. There'll still be pockets of states, you know, that'll hold out with prohibition for a while. But by and large, we get California legalized, folks. Game over. Legalization's fait accompli in most places in the United States within the next decade after that. But if California loses in 2016, that could be a signal that the pendulum or the momentum has come to a halt. How California goes may determine whether or not any other state, especially a larger, more populous state like a Texas, Florida, New York, Illinois, any of those states, whether they take a serious look at whether they should do that or not. So California is mega important, and it's also very contentious. At last count, I think there were five different groups in California that were all aiming some sort of ballot initiative campaign for 2016. Now, the group that's probably got the biggest shot, and this is according to the Sacramento Bee, would be Reform California, Reform CA, which is a group that's got the political arm of the Drug Policy Alliance, the Marijuana Policy Project, and a group called A New Approach, which is, you know, it's Dale Skye Jones and the folks, you know, a lot of the folks that were instrumental in the Prop 19 campaign. And you've got the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, not officially on their side yet, but kind of laying the groundwork to go that way. And the groundwork that I'm referring to here is finding out what can pass. I know this is crazy talk in marijuana legalization circles among some folks in marijuana legalization, but in just about every other movement, they figure out through polling and surveys what people will support. And then they write an initiative. I know, crazy, huh? Wacky. Figure out what will pass, then write it and get support and money for it, rather than writing true legalization and then hoping everybody gets behind it. So, in doing this, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union helped put together a series of focus groups. They had 48 men and women who were pretty much a cross-section of the state. Blacks, whites, Latinos, Asians. You know, men, women, rich, poor, you know, whatever demographic background, they try to find somebody who can fit those different demographics. And so, and they gathered these in Riverside, California, Fremont, California, and Los Angeles. So three different areas of the state as well. And the reason this research is so important is because unlike Prop 19 in 2010 and Washington's legalization and Colorado's legalization and Oregon's legalization in 2012 and Oregon and Alaska's legalization in 2014, unlike the past five or six legalization campaigns that have been attempted, the campaign in 2016 is going to have serious opposition. Not a couple of statements from the local law enforcement saying how bad legalization would be. I'm talking multi-million dollar professionally run Republican Lee Atwater level attack ad type opposition. And you don't think it can happen and have a seriously devastating effect. All you got to do is look at Florida 2014. Florida 2014 had medical marijuana on the ballot and it was polling in the 80s. The 80% ranges, like impossible to lose levels of support. And then before you know it, Sheldon Adelson comes in and spends three times more money than the pro campaign did, dumps a boatload of negative ads without the scare music. If medical marijuana is legalized in Florida, your kids could get marijuana without your permission, and drug dealers could be caregivers, and, you know, all the terrible stuff they'd say, which was all bullshit, but in the world of attack ads, that stuff works. It clearly worked, because that support that was in the 80s dropped to 58% by Election Day. It's all they got on Election Day was 58%. Now, in a sane world, that would mean they won, but Florida Constitution requires you get 60%. So from their point of view, they won. They kept it out of the Constitution. They drove down support, introduced enough fear, uncertainty, and doubt to kill a sure thing. So don't think California's a sure thing, and don't think that they're not going to dump $10, $12 million into opposing California legalization, because they're not idiots out there. I mean, they're idiots with what they think about marijuana, but they're not idiots in politics. They know they lose California, it's game over. It's as big a deal to them as it is to us. So they're going to dump a ton of money in scare ad after scare ad after scare ad. And the UFCW and the Reform California people and everybody working on this survey is trying to mitigate that possibility, trying to figure out what's got the most support. What's our weak spot? What could we be attacked on? Now, some of the stuff that they found right now, support for legalization in California is at 55%. That's up 6 points since 2010. Now, that's good, but they generally say you want to be in the 60% range before you start an initiative, because you're going to get dragged down 8 to 10 points by the negative attack ads. So it's going to be really difficult. We're also going to have to figure out, and this is according to Ned Wigglesworth, who's a strategist at Redwood Pacific Public Affairs, who says, quote, "If it comes off as a sensible, well-considered change in drug policy supported by credible groups, they've got a shot. If it comes off as a scheme cooked up by potheads, voters will treat it accordingly," end quote. And what is a scheme cooked up by potheads cost in the way of votes? Prop 19 lost in 2010, and it was considered a scheme cooked up by potheads, even though it was pretty tame by today's standards. 1 ounce possession, 5x5 personal garden, system of dispensaries, and so on. But you know what killed Prop 19? Wasn't the stoners against legalization, wasn't the growers who opposed it, the medical marijuana people who opposed it, although they didn't help it pass. But what really killed it was there was a provision in Prop 19 that would forbid employers from not hiring or firing employees based on the results of their drug tests. Now, I completely support that. It ought to be the law. But that was one of the things that cost support for Prop 19. From people with small businesses that were worried, oh, if I legalize this, my employees get to come to work high. And the idea that there'd be, you know, workers and kids all under the influence of marijuana after Prop 19 passes. It was done in by educators, business groups, and law enforcement, according to Wayne Johnson, who was the strategist who guided the campaign against Prop 19. He says, supporters still don't have a good template for how to legalize pot, and polling data show, quote, how beatable this is in 2016. This is the opponents. This is Johnson, the strategist for the opponents, who says, quote, they have still not figured out a way to convince parents there's a way to mitigate the impact on at-risk youth. You actually have marijuana addiction today, whereas in the old days, that was considered reefer madness. So we've got to get this right and not overreach in California. My advice is don't try to solve everything. Get it legal first. Even if that legal is just the possession of an ounce and the cultivation of 4 plants or 6 plants or some low number of plants, do that. Stay away from changing DUI laws. Stay away from protecting workplace rights that we deserve, but let's not tackle that yet. Let's be legal first, then we start tackling all of our rights. It's a lot easier to fight for your rights when you're a legal consumer than when you're an illegal criminal. Folks, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Find me everywhere online as Radical Russ, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you